From a distance he'd been watching me. I guess somehow he knew. In my heart I longed to be like him. In time the closer we became, the more it seemed I grew. I'd fall, he'd pick me up, I'd try again. He loves me even when I do the things I shouldn't do. And when I fail to do the things I should. I've heard it said that love is blind. I've come to know it's true. He forgets the bad and remembers all the good. In my Father's eyes, there's no wrong I've done. In my Father's eyes, I am the perfect son. He must see someone that I can't see, and it makes me want to try to be like the son that's in my Father's eyes. When this life is over, my last trial I've gone through will be worth it all to hear him say, well done. Maybe then I'll understand just what he saw in me. But I'm sure I'll find he was blinded by the sun. In my Father's eyes, there's no wrong I've done. In my Father's eyes, I am the perfect son. He must see someone that I can't see, and it makes me want to try be like the son that's in my Father's eyes. When this life is over, my last trial I've gone through will be worth it all to hear him say, well done. Maybe then I'll understand just what he saw in me. But I'm sure I'll find he was blinded by the sun. In my Father's eyes, there's no wrong I've done. In my Father's eyes, I am the perfect son. He must see someone that I can't see, and it makes me want to try to be like the son that's in my Father's eyes. He must see someone that I can't see, and it makes me want to try to be like the son that's in my Father's eyes. Today I face the mountain oh so high, and I do not know what's waiting on the other side. But I know enough to know he'll see me through again. I'm glad to know It's in the Savior's hands. There will be grace
to make it through this trial. There will be strength
to walk another mile.
There will be hope when I've done all I can.
I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hands. Those hands have seen me through my darkest days. They have dried my tears and helped to guide me on my way. So I know He'll safely see me through the fire again. I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hands.
There will be grace to make it through this trial. There will be strength to walk another mile. There will be hope when I've done all I can. I'm glad to know
it's in the Savior's
hands. Listen to this verse.
Listen. Those hands have seen me through my darkest days. They have dried my tears and helped to guide me on my way. And I know He'll safely see me through the fire again. I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hands. Thank God that's right, isn't it? There will be
grace to make it through this trial. There will be strength to walk another mile. There will be hope when I've been all I can.
I'm glad to know it's in the Savior's hands. He's all I need when I just need someone to talk to. He's always there to hear my prayer each time I call Him. His friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing. Time and time again, He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation.
He's my everything.
He's all I need. He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other. Oh, He's a friend that's closer than a brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. Oh, He's the Lord of all. He's all I need. Yes, hallelujah. He comforts me when I'm weary. Eases every pain. deepest longings. Time and time again, He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, He's all I need. One last time, He's all I need. I dare not turn to any other, for He's a friend, a friend that's closer than any brother. On this friend I can rely to be my strength as life goes by. He's the Lord of all, and He's all I need. He comforts me when I'm weary, eases every pain, fills my deepest longing, time and time again. He's my soul's inspiration, my heart's consolation. He's my everything, He's all I need.
That's right, amen.
That's true.
Hallelujah. That's true.
I'd heard it said, but I didn't really know it till it happened to me, that when you get down in life to where the Lord is all you have, it's then you realize He's all you need. That's true. That's true. When He, amen, brother. Hallelujah. You got Him, you got what you need. Amen. Amen. Don't think He's strange. You're the weirdo if you're quiet. You wait till we get to heaven, buddy. You wait till we get to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, there's going to be a noise. We're going to make a racket, man. I'm telling you. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Good to be saved here tonight, isn't it? Hallelujah. Had a little fireworks early. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible and open to the book of James, chapter 2. And I'm going to give you a little thought tonight. We're going to have a meeting with the bus workers tonight. Just real short. I promise it'll be real short. We'll make some plans for our big day coming up in a couple weeks. So all bus workers, bus drivers, everybody involved in the bus ministry, meet with me in the junior church as soon as service is over tonight. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're going to look at some... Brother Mike, get me up on this one. And then get me down after I get loud, brother. I won't have to say that. Just watch me for a little while. James chapter number 2. We'll look tonight at some verses of Scripture that, be honest with you, most Baptist preachers sort of avoid because it seems to teach contrary to what we believe. But it don't. There are no contradictions in the Bible. You just got to rightly divide it. And I'm not going to take this Scripture from a doctrinal standpoint tonight. We could, and we will do that another time. But tonight, I want to bring it out in a practical way to help you. James chapter 2. You'll look down at verse number 34. I'm sorry, 14. Verse number 14. James chapter 2, verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Look at verse number 26. Look at verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And what he said there was, your faith with no works is just like a dead person laying there. There's a body, but they have no life. Faith without works. I want to preach tonight, just for a few minutes, give me attention, and I'm going to tell you some Bible stuff tonight on the subject, faith that works. Faith
that works. The Bible talks about faith being without works. There are lots of stories of faith in the Bible. The great chapter in Hebrews 11 is what we call the roll call, or the heroes of the faith. And you have to remember that you don't have to be popular to please God. You don't have to be rich to please God. You don't have to be educated to please God. You don't have to be born in America to please God. You don't have to live in a certain part of the country. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be smart. But you do have to have faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We forget a lot of times that God honors and blesses simple, childlike faith. Just believe it. Just believe what He said. Just believe what He said He is and what He would do. We slip on that sometimes. We try to get all complicated and think, well, if I do this, God will help me. And if I do that, God will help me. And we try to impress God. We even try to trick God. We even try to con Him sometimes. And say, well, if I do this, the Lord, try to... That's crazy. The only thing that pleases God is faith. That's what God's pleased with. When God looks down, He wants somebody to say, there's somebody that believes me. They believe me. And that pleases Him, according to the Bible. We all are here tonight. We're here tonight to get a faith lift. That's what we're here for. And I can talk plain. But we are here to get a faith lift. We're going to get you some spiritual Botox, amen, to get some of them wrinkles pulled out of our little shabby, doubting lives, Christian lives tonight, and maybe get us a faith lift. We put that on the sign one time years ago, come in and have a faith lift, and people got a kick out of it, and that's what we need, really, we really do. Now, you tell me, I heard people say, preacher, I just pray for me that God will give me more faith. You don't pray for faith. Somebody tell me how you get faith. You know how. Faith coming by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You get faith by getting in this book. You read that book. I guarantee you, you read 10 chapters a day, every day this week, and your faith will be stronger next Sunday than it is tonight. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I listen to preaching every week, I listen to preaching. And when I'm at home, I know you don't believe this, but I can have the news on where I can read the captions of what's happening in the world and listening to a preacher's sermon over here and making a radio tape in my room all at the same time. And I do that. I listen to this for a minute, listen to that for a minute, and watch that for a minute, and do sit-ups while I'm doing that. I do that every week. I'll do it tomorrow probably, or Tuesday once. And the reason I do that is because that faith is building my that preaching is building my faith. I got a Jack Hiles CD MP3 that Mr. T made me back there, and boy, that thing got about 20 sermons on it. And everybody in here ought to listen to them 20 sermons. This was back in about 1970. And boy, you talk about, Lord have mercy, blistering hide. I mean, you talk about stuff you say nowadays. I mean, you get locked up for what he said back in those days. And you know what? Old Dr. Hiles, he preached those sermons, and I put one in, and it'll help me. Sometimes, if you're having a hard time going to sleep, I put that little CD player right on this pillow, and I'll lay down like that and look at it, and turn a sermon on, and let him preach me to sleep. Amen? Like I do some of you on Sunday. Amen? Preachers don't talk in their sleep. They talk in other people's sleep. That's what the guy said. But anyway, it'll increase your faith. I went to sleep the other night, woke up, he is still a preacher. I thought, amen. Like, I don't know what to say. But I'll tell you something tonight. I'm going to talk about some great stories of faith in the Bible, and it'll not be long, and I'm just going to name these off to you. First of all, I want to talk about a father offered his only son. This is Abraham, back in the book of Genesis. Along in there, 20 chapters of Genesis, 20 along in there. And old Abraham, he had one son. And he didn't have a son for a long time. And God promised him that he was going to have a son. And God said, I'll give you a son. And you know that he was 99 and Sarah was 90. And he's now too old to have a kid. And God said, nope, about this time next year, according to the time of life, thou shalt have a son. And sure enough, right on schedule, old Sarah brought forth Isaac. And boy, Isaac was his only son. And Abraham loved that boy. And he saw him coming up. I don't know exactly how old he was, but he'd come up a young man, young fella. And one day the Lord talked to Abraham at night. And he said, take your son, your only son, and take him up there on that mountain and offer him. Now, you know, we've heard them Bible stories all our life. You think about that. You think about God asking you to take your only son that you had waited on for years and years and years and bore him in your old age and say, kill him, take him up there and offer him for a sacrifice. And the Bible said Abraham got out of bed the next day. He took that young lad. He took some stuff. He took his knife. And boy, here they went up to that mountain. And told him, he said, I'm the lad going up yonder to worship. And we'll come again. And he walked up that hill that day. That's one of the greatest stories of faith in the entire Bible, where God told a man to do something that was completely contrary to our nature, kill our son, and gave him up. I don't know many people. That's why Abraham was a great man. That's why Abraham wasn't a great man just because he was a Jew. He was the father of them. Abraham wasn't a great man because he lived in that time and he was a patriarch. Abraham was a great man because of that act of faith that day. And God looked down and he said, Abraham, give me your son. And, you know, I've heard people try to reason around it because Abraham did say, we'll go and come again. And they say, well, see there, he knew that God wasn't going to. No, he didn't. I believe, and I'm sure you'd agree, Brother Chris, and your Bible teachers in here, I believe that Abraham had every intention of killing that boy. He had every intention. He was going to do it just as sure as his name was Abraham. He was going to kill that boy. He took him up there, and he laid that boy down. And that little boy looked around, and he said, Daddy, we're going to offer a sacrifice. Here's the wood. Here's the knife. He said, but where's the sacrifice? And he said, son, you lay down right here. God will provide himself a sacrifice. I like the way the King James Bible put it. God will provide himself. That's prophetic. Or the Lord Jesus Christ come one day and God did provide himself as a sacrifice. And so he took that knife like that right there and he drew back and he said, God, I don't want to do this. I don't like to do this. But if it's what you say, if your word, I'll do it. He pulled his hand back like that and the Lord said, stop! And over there was a ram caught in the thicket. And the Lord said, now I know that you believe me. I know. He stood the test. You know, the least little old test of Christians nowadays, we flop. We fail. We make an E minus, brother, or an F. I mean, we fail the test of God. But oh, Abraham said, Lord, is that what you really want me to do? You mean you're going to get? I get to keep it? He said, that's right. I know you wouldn't withhold your son. I know you'd do anything for me, Abraham. Son, he went over and grabbed that ram. No mercy. Put him on there, slew him, burned him. And him and Isaac came back down the mountain shouting. And because he had faith. I'm telling you, that's an act of faith. Sometimes God asks us to do things that's hard. Sometimes we feel like, have you ever felt like God wanted you to do something and you just didn't want to do it? You just seen no way to do it, but you knew it was right? I'm telling you, you will never go wrong by obeying God. You will never go wrong by obeying God. He'll never tell you to do wrong. It was a man who offered up his son. Secondly tonight, I'll tell you another one. You can make a sermon out of all these stories. I want to tell you about an old man who conquered a mountain full of giants. Over in the book of Judges, his name was Caleb. He was 85 years of age. I worry about these Christians that say, well, I'm 40 now, so I'm just going to take time to backslide. I'm quitting the bus ministry. I'm 40 years old. Tell me that one time. Said, Lord, I'm 40 years old. Listen, Caleb was 85 and just getting started. He said, I want that mountain. That one right there. I want that mountain right there. You don't ever get too old to have a vision for God. You don't ever get too old to do something for God. You don't ever get too old to accomplish something for God. Oh, Caleb said, I mean, Lord, in mercy, wouldn't you like seeing him? He said, I'm just as spry as I ever was. And he jumped up there and he said, Josh! And all them other men was all scared. No, Joshua was with him. He said, Josh! He said, I want that mountain. And they said, "You crazy old man, you need to be in the rest home. You, that mountain's full of giants." He said, "I've been in this thing." He said, "I feel as good as I ever have." And by cracky, he said, "I'll go back now." I mean, he had his glasses on like that. And they said, "All right." And son, that old boy conquered that thing. He conquered that thing. That old man. Listen, I'll tell you, I know people, it used to be a man up in Marion, go visiting with me every Thursday. And his name was Brother Lloyd Brimmer. Y'all remember Brother Lloyd? And Brother Lloyd, he was way up, I don't know how old he was. Lord, he was old. 80, something like that. And every Thursday, he'd go on visitation with me. Chris was talking about his dad here, going on visitation every week. That's a great testimony. You men ought to do that. You men, really, you ought to do it. Even if you could just take your son out in your neighborhood and just go knock on some doors around your house. Take him out. Well, oh Lord, he'd go with me every Thursday. And I mean, I run him to death. I run to death. I put old Lloyd in the car with me. I said, "Where you going to go this morning, Brother Lloyd?" I said, "I need to go to the hospital." And if you've been to the hospital on visitation with me, I cannot stand to stand there and wait on all them. I always just use the steps, and you can get there faster. And you can also go out the corner door, and I'd park near the corner door so I could get in my car. And I'd run up them steps, and I said, "Brother Lloyd, we'll take the elevator," because I didn't want him to have to run up them steps. And I'd get on the elevator, and I'd say, "Can you go down these steps, Brother Lloyd?" He'd say, "Yeah, I can, Brother Danny." And I'd go like that, "Buddy, here we go, down them steps." And I'd get him in the car. I was flying over them humps. There's a place over there where this man, over where y'all's their appliance places over on East Marion, Baldwin Avenue. If y'all know Baldwin Avenue in Marion, you come up through there and there's humps. Y'all ever come up over them humps real fast? We'd come up through there flying, man. And I'd hit one of them humps coming, like going toward Greasy Corner. And you come up there and you hit them humps and you go airborne just about. I mean, we'd come over there and I'd fly over one of them humps and I'd say, "Is my driving scaring you, Brother Lloyd?" And he said, "No, I'm all right." I get, and about that time I hit a big bump. He never fussed. He never complained. I hit a big old bump and he went, "Whee!" I said, "Are you scared?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, I ain't going to hurt you, I promise. We'll be all right." And boy, I tell you, Brother Lloyd, was about 80 years old, but he wanted to do something for God. He wanted to do something for God. And you know what he told me one time? Me and him had an agreement. And I said, "Brother Lloyd, I appreciate you sticking with me." He said, "Brother Danny," he said, "you stick with God, and I'll stick with you." I said, "Fair enough. Put it there, right there." No pastor could ask for a better commitment than that. That's good enough for anybody. He said, "You stay with God, I'll stay with you." And brother, that's what we ought to do tonight. You ought to turn and say, "Preacher, church, stay with God, and I'll stay with you." Don't be an AWOL. Don't be a backslider this summer. Don't be one of them that used to go to church. Don't be one of them. All it takes is two or three Wednesday nights. Two or three Sunday nights being out. You'll be backslid as a devil. I'm telling you tonight, old Lloyd, brother, he said, "Let's go." He finally died. And we had his funeral. And I tell you what, it was a blessing to know him. That's the way old Caleb was. He was an old man, but he conquered the mountain. The Christian life, are you listening? The Christian life is like flying an airplane. It's not like driving a car. If you drive a car, you can stop and rest, back up. It ain't like that. Christian life's like flying an airplane. If you stop, you drop. Amen? Be a good sermon, wouldn't it? If you stop, you drop. If you stop serving God, you drop. Don't quit. Don't quit Sunday school. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit praying. Don't let up on your bus route just because it's pretty weather. We fuss because it's bad weather back in the winter. Now it's pretty weather, and the devil used that on. Don't do it. Let's go. Let's get the job done. Conquer that mountain. All you bus workers here tonight, I challenge you, glory to God, it ain't time to make excuses. It ain't time to say, "Well, the Lord ain't blessing no more." It's time to rear back and say, "I want that mountain. I want my bus full. I want to see God do something in my Sunday school class. I want to see God move." Every Sunday school teacher, just make up your mind. I want to see God. I want that mountain to work in my heart. Number three, one soldier attacked an entire army. Over in 1 Samuel 14 and verse 6. And little David came in 17. One soldier put a whole army to flight. Doubt sees the obstacles. Faith sees the way. Doubt sees the darkest night. Faith sees the day. Doubt dreads to take a step. Faith soars on high. Doubt questions, who believes? Faith answers, I. Amen? Somebody said this. Faith keeps the man who keeps the faith. Faith keeps the man who keeps the faith. If you keep the faith, faith keeps you. Amen? Keep the faith! Keep the faith! I can't tell y'all how many young preachers started out preaching when I did. 20 at least. 15 or 20. And there's about 3 of them in the ministry tonight. Or maybe 4. Marvin's sitting over here. Raise your hand, Brother Marvin. And he's pastored a couple of churches, or 3. And God, he's stayed in there all these years. I remember him when I was just a little kid. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm older than he is. But Marvin got right with God in the same revival I did. And then my cousin Joey, who's still a preacher up there in Nebo, and then, Jimmy Cannon, and a couple more. But they was slew. You know what happened? Somewhere along the line, something happens. Somewhere along the line, something happened. And when you're going to church, y'all that have just started, Chrissy, Steve, all y'all folks, right? Robert, all y'all that hit the altar there a minute ago, all you new people, all y'all that just got started, you start off, you say, glory to God, I'm happy, I'm in church, and don't you doubt the devil's going to throw something at you. I mean, as big as one of them tractor trailers coming down the interstate. And the devil's going to try to stop you, and when you don't feel like coming, you don't want to come, right then you got to make up your mind, I'm going anyway. You are just getting to learn to serve God when you do what you're supposed to when you don't feel like it, and when you don't want to, and your heart ain't in it, and it's not exciting, and it ain't counting, and it ain't you trying, you just do it anyway. There you're going by faith, amen. We're supposed to serve God by faith, ladies and gentlemen, by faith. When David conquered the whole army. Number 4, a godly man walked into a den of lions. In Daniel chapter 6, they passed the law that nobody could pray except to their God. For ever how many days? 30 days or whatever. But old Daniel kept praying. Old Daniel prayed, the song said, every morning, noon and night. He cared not for the king's decree, that he prayed that God would set him free. Old Daniel prayed every morning, noon and night. And they passed the law. And they put it up on telephone poles. And they put it all over town. And they put it on Twitter and Nosebook and everything. Anybody who prays unto another God for 30 days will be cast into the den of lions. And they put it up. And boy, I tell you what old Daniel did. He said, look, he did like a great preacher said the other day. A great preacher who's gone through some persecution lately. He got up in his pulpit the other Sunday. And he said, I stood on this book all these many, many years. And I ain't about to quit now. He said, the God that's brought me since I was just a young man will be the God that takes me the rest of the way. And Daniel said, I may get in trouble. But he bowed his knee and said, dear God, you're my God. You know what they done? They grabbed him. They threw him in that den of lions. They kept them lions in there hungry. And down he went like that. And some of them big old lions looked at him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine now? I mean, we go on bus route. And oh, Lord have mercy. When I run down Hockey Tom, there's a little old dog about that big got behind me the other day. About that big. Remind me of one of these Baptist preachers. How do you come up behind me? And I turn around like a Baptist preacher. And boy, I tell you what, I said I was going down through that like that, and he was, but I can't imagine a den of lions. I can't imagine. You talking about German shepherds and Rottweilers. Lord. His boy, Tyler, got bit. Ain't he got one got bit on bus right the other day? Amen. I got attacked by a dog. He's coming after his mama, and she said, no, get him! And bit him. And they had to take him to get him checked out down on Brother Mike's route. But can you imagine? Can you imagine being in a den of lions? Really? I mean, you can't run. You ain't got no taser. You ain't got one of them lion tamer things. I mean, there's lions all around. Son, they look at you like, You know what the Bible said? Old Daniel said, God, if this is the way I got to go, this is the way I got to go. Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm believing in you. I ain't backsliding. I ain't worshiping that false God the king said. I know who God is. I know what you've done for me. I'll stand for you. And brother, the Bible said the angel of God come and shut the lion's mouth. What about that? Here comes an angel down here and grabs Cleo and the rest of them and hold them up. And then they go, what the hell is that of him? I can't get my lips open. He looks good. Get locked off, brother. I mean, every one of them left. Wouldn't that be the coolest thing ever? And I mean, while the king was up there rolling around, couldn't sleep at night, Daniel pulled up one of them big old, a heated, comfortable bed and just laid down on that big lion mantle. Shut up now, boys. Y'all just be real still now. And tell me a story or something. Let me hear you snore. And the king couldn't sleep. You know what? By faith, that man of God walked into that lion's den. We don't know what we may have to face. We don't know what economic hard times we may be going through. We don't know how bad the economy's going to get. We may be seeing some rough days in the next few years. Let me remind you, we're walking by faith and not by sight. Don't you give in. Don't you give in. Don't you accept a job where you have to get out of God's will and move off somewhere where there ain't no good church and get out of God's will. You trust God by faith to take care of you like Daniel did. And with that, a queen appeared unmasked and uninvited before the king. Back in Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible said she came in. You see, faith is not believing that just God can. Faith is believing that He will. Faith helps you face the music, even when you don't like the tune. Faith helps you face the music, even when you don't like... You know what's wrong with some of you folks and all of us tonight? You're scared just to step out on faith and do what you know you got to do. Scared. And if you'll never do nothing, are y'all listening to me? You'll never do nothing till you go ahead and do it before you're ready. I know people that I've known them 20 years and they still ain't ready. I ain't ready yet, preacher. I just ain't ready. I just ain't ready. I ain't ready. I ain't ready. I used to tell my mom, I said, Mom, you'll never get ready. You'll never get everything done. You'll never get everything. Everything ain't never going to be perfect. Just do it! Do something for God. Amen? That's right, brother. Amen. Amen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I was thinking this morning, and I had a lot of people tell me, they said, Brother Danny, how in the world you go night after night, this makes, I don't know, 13 nights or something like that, you go like that, every night like that. And last night we was down there, the Bannon Chef, we had a big party down there at the Bannon Chef, and I was eating hamburger and milkshake and big old pile of greasy french fries, and Sean and Heather was sitting up there, and Jason and Crystal were dancing to the jukebox, you think I'm kidding, don't you? And we was having a big time. We was laughing and cutting up and enjoying fellowship, having just a great time. And boy, I tell you, she and Crystal said, yeah, she loved every minute of it, didn't she? And you know what I do? I do. I'm honored to get to do something for God. You know what? I come by a preacher's house this morning on the way to church, and I left. That preacher had to retire, and that preacher's wife left him. And that preacher is having to work on 7 days a week to pay his bills and can barely get by. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know, if I was to ever get in shape like that, if I was to ever get down to where I couldn't go, I don't know what I'd do. I'd think, Lord, 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 I'd love to have the change. And you'd be the same way. If you had to be put in a home, you got crippled or something where you couldn't knock on a door or go on a bus around it, you'd say, Lord, why didn't I do? Listen, we got our change now. We ain't in the rest home. Amen. We're not in a place of confinement. We're not in prison. We're not in jail. Let's do it. Enjoy it for the glory of God. Hallelujah, people. Let's enjoy our hell. We'll rest when we get to heaven. Let's do something for God. That's right, old Esther went in there. And you couldn't just walk in and see the king anytime you wanted to back in them days. It killed you. I mean, and even she was wife. Still could. And you know what she told him? She told them people, they said, he'll kill you if you come in there. She said, well, I'm going to do it. And if I perish, I perish. Ah, what a woman. That's a great step of faith. She said, I'm going in there. If they kill me, they kill me, fellas. But I'm not going to sit out here. And that's what some of y'all need to do. God dealing with you about doing something, just step out there and say, bless God. If I fail, I fail, but I'm going to jump. Amen. When I was Think about starting this church. I'm sure Brother Chris went through the same thing. It's like you're on the edge and there's the lake or the swimming pool or whatever. And you want to jump in. And you think, well, should I or shouldn't I? Okay, I don't know if I should or not. I don't know if I should or not. 2 or 3 days later, I don't know. I'm going to pray about it a little bit longer. You know? And finally, one day, you think, you know what? If I drown, I drown. Amen? If I go down, I go down. Here I go. Wah! I mean, just hit. That's the only way to do it. And that's the way it is about anything. When I started this church, that's exactly how I felt. I thought, Lord, if I perish, I perish. I went and talked to my pastor, and I said, I'm thinking about doing it. I said, I'm scared. I'm scared I'm going to fail. He said, well, where are you now? I said, I'm on zero. I'm on the bottom. He said, well, if you fail, you're going to be no lower than you are already right now. You're still on the bottom, and so just go ahead and go for it. Ladies and gentlemen, Esther said, if I perish, I perish. And she didn't perish. I'm telling you what, she was willing to step out on fire for God. She appeared unmasked and uninvited before the king. Number 6, a fisherman walked right on water against nature. In Matthew 14:29, you know his name. It was the Apostle Peter. You know what faith is? God doesn't call us to be successful. God calls us to be faithful. You listen? God doesn't call us to be successful. God calls us to be faithful. God doesn't call us to necessarily do something big. He calls us to be faithful in that He's given us to do. Amen? Faith without works is like a car without gas. It can be a nice, beautiful car, shined up, beautiful, but it ain't going nowhere. Faith without works is like a car with no fuel. Ladies and gentlemen, old Peter stepped out there and went. Faith is daring to go further than you can see. Faith is daring to go further than you can see. People say, well, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. If you'll just show me. I know you say, well, my wife, she drives me crazy, Brother Danny. All she has to be worried about the bills and what we're going to do and how we're going to pay for this. I know some men do the very same thing. How we're going to pay for it. We ain't going to make it. What we're going to do. What we're going to do. Faith is going further than you can see. It's going on. And it's stepping out there like this. And old Peter, I don't think Peter knew the water was going to hold him up. Now the Lord did say, come on out. The Lord come on the water. And Peter said, could not. Now no matter what you think about Peter, he did jump the gun a few times. And he did get backslid to deny the Lord. But he's the only one of them had enough faith to step out there and walk on that water. At least that boy would do something. Amen? I admire him. Thank God for it. He messed up some, but I tell you one thing. When he was right, you better look out and get out of the way, because he would do something for God. He stepped out and he said, Lord, is that really you? Are we dreaming? He said, if that's you, if that's really you, and then he goes, let me do that. And the Lord said, come on. So he goes like this, and that's all I said, man, you're crazy. You're crazy. That he ain't God. Who does he think he is? And he goes out like this. Water now. Water. Over your head. He steps out like that and goes out. I wonder how his foot felt before it. Just like I felt our first Sunday over there, I believe. It's a scary thing. Lord, am I doing the right thing? Lord, am I being stupid? Lord, am I being foolish? Lord, is this really going to hold me up? Lord, Can I really afford this? Is this going to work out? Can I buy that house? Or can I do that? Do whatever? You're trying to do something. Lord, help me! Help me! Help me! Help me! Hey! Woo! Hey! Jump up down on that water like that. Look at this, boys. Uh-oh. He dropped his microphone in the water. And it won't work no more, I bet. Look at this, boys! As soon as he takes his eyes off the Lord, he starts going down like that. See, you got to realize that it ain't you, it ain't your great faith. It's you looking to Him that what keeps you going. And so here he went, started sinking, and the Lord grabbed him, pulled him out. By faith, Peter done that. He didn't do that because he knew Greek and Hebrew. He didn't do that because he was educated by them other guys. He did that by faith, and that's available to everybody in here tonight. Fisherman. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. Feed your faith and your doubts will start it. You'd be an old preacher up here in Marion. And you know what he used to tell us? He'd say, believe your beliefs, Preacher Bradley. He said, believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. We have a tendency to doubt our beliefs and believe our doubts. But believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. Good advice. Faith is daring to go further than you can see. Faith and works is like you're in a boat and you're pulling on both oars. Faith without works, you're just going to go around and around and around if you just pull on one of them. And I'm about to say it. And if you have another, I'll get unsick. Now, that's better. You pull on both of them. Faith without works is dead. Lastly, and I'll say this, number 7. A prisoner commanded sailors and soldiers. A prisoner? Man in jail? In stock, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 27. Over there, when the boat was going down. And brother, God, they had problems. And the boat was going down. It was sinking, that terrible storm. You know what? Paul, here's a soldier. Here's the guy in charge. Now think about that. It'd be like the men in the city council or somebody meeting on what to do about, and here's a man in jail telling them what to do. That's faith, brother. I mean, they're all saying, well, here, we're going to do this. We're going to lighten the ship. We're going to all that. And you know what? Paul jumped up and he said, don't worry about it. He said, I prayed. He said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. God's given us everybody. There's going to be loss of no man's life. We're all going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. That man of God stepped up there by faith and told that whole crowd how to behave during that storm. And ladies and gentlemen, what this generation needs, what our generation needs in the midst of turmoil and financial problems and political need, is some men of God to rise up and say, this is the right way. Trust God. God will take care of us if we'll do what God wants us to do. God's going to work our problems out. We're going to stay with Him. He knows. He cares. He's in charge. Living without faith is like driving in a fog. Going without faith is like driving in a fog. You don't know where you're going. You're scared. You're going to run into something any second. If you'll put your faith in that book, I use the illustration many times and I'm done. Joe, back there, brother Joe, flies airplanes and those little planes and stuff, and he'll tell you, any pilot will tell you, when you're flying an airplane, you don't go by how you feel. You don't even go by what you see. You go by those instruments. Those instruments. Man, the first time I flew out of Charlotte, I was about 22, 23. I've been doing it ever since. And I flew from Charlotte to Flint, Michigan, preach revival. And I never flew on a jet. And I got on that thing and I thought, boy, I can't wait to see little buildings and stuff. And it was real cloudy and raining that day and foggy. And there, here we got on that thing. Boy, we got strapped in. I said, all right, buddy, let's get her going here. Man, he hit. Man, I'll be honest with you. I love to feel them things taking off. I would like to drive one of them things. But it throws you back in the seat. Boom, now you feel some horsepower, man. I don't know if they measure it in horsepower. Do they? Or they might call it something else, but I'm telling you, there's a bunch of horses underneath that thing. It's strong. It throws you against the seat like that. And I'm telling you, I said, wow! And I looked out the window, and we hadn't been off the ground 5 seconds. You couldn't see nothing. Went right up in the... I said, you couldn't see nothing. I said, how fast are we going? And right then, I think we was going, I don't know, maybe 200 mile an hour, and going on up to about 400. You couldn't see from here that door. I said, how does he know where we're going? 400, can you imagine? Go out there and drive down the interstate, 100 mile an hour, and put your hand over your head like that right there. That's what it was like. 400 mile an hour, brother, and you couldn't see nothing. And that guy just sitting there calm as ever, just going with those instruments. He trusts those instruments. If he'd been like a lot of Christians, I know he'd say, I don't trust it. I don't feel right. He said, I think we should go this way. It feels like we should go that way. I just don't feel right. We should go up. We should go down. And I heard a pilot say one time he got vertigo. And vertigo is where you can't even tell. You get to where you can't tell which way's up. You can get messed up like that up there, man. You don't know which way's up, down, sideways. And all you can do is go to those instruments. And I'm going to tell you, it's not in closing. They're coming. sometimes in your Christian life, you don't know if you're going sideways, upside down, cross-eyed or backwards or what you're doing. Amen, y'all? Sometimes you think, what am I doing? I don't know if I'm serving God, backslid, living to the devil. I don't know what's going on. And all you do is go with them instruments. Amen. That book laying up there. And you'll come out right if you'll go with that book. You'll come out right if you'll go with that book. Faith that works. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Every